All right, well, let's talk about egg breaking at its greatest level, and that would be the good old famous gray goo. The whole concept has fascinated me. I assume that essentially destroying an oil tanker and leaving just the oil would be a variation of gray goo, eh?
Sort of. Gray goo's been beaten up pretty hard lately in the literature.
Well, let's establish once and for all. Do you believe that gray goo, in its most terribly described form, that is, that virtually eats everything on the globe up, and everything on the globe becomes gray goo, is that honestly technologically conceivable?
Well, we're going to play with the definition of conceivable, but within the usual realm of probabilities, no. I think at this point, Professor Richard Smalley, who at Texas, who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry recently for the discovery of the fullerene, the precursor to the nanotube, the buckyball,
yes,
60 carbon atoms together with hexagons and pentagons, exactly like a soccer ball.
Yes.
He had a published debate with my colleague Eric Trexler, the fellow who introduced the term nanotechnology, about this subject in molecular manufacturing. Smalley's argument is that there aren't, he called sticky fingers and hands. It's hard to manipulate atoms at that level. The debate quite literally rages, and you can go to the American Chemical Society website and look at the debate where it currently stands. But the out and out gray goo scenario, I think, is a little far-fetched at this point. What I had in mind in terms of selective destruction of matter, I think, isn't so far-fetched, because you can program, for example, just nanotubes to respond in very different ways, just again based upon the twist or the length of the tubes and a lot of things like that. That's a lot easier too than to build something. So destruction with nanotechnology, I think, yeah, that's a big growth area.
Let's imagine the destruction of an aircraft carrier. Might as well pick on a major asset,
right,
an entire aircraft carrier. If you can get an oil tanker, you get an aircraft carrier, I would think.
Right.
In what manner is it being destroyed? The nanotechnology is being instructed to do what? To take the material of the aircraft carrier, the various materials, and turn it into something else? Is that how it occurs?
Well, simpler, to break chemical bonds and to dissociate molecules, to reduce to complex molecules to simpler molecules, or even perhaps individual atoms. Of course, that takes a lot of energy. The trick is figuring out how to set up a kind of chain reaction like fire or like a nuclear chain reaction.
But the matter actually remains. It just becomes converted in some manner, does it not?
Well, sure. Like H2O, split into hydrogen and oxygen.
So you might turn an aircraft
carrier... Neither one of those are good for you, by the way.
You might turn an aircraft carrier into water.
Yes. I'm not saying that you would do that, but that's the principle. You would transform it into a different set of Lego blocks. But that's a very specific thing, and I think it's, I hate to say it, but potentially feasible because of the nature of the metals involved, and you know, all you have to do is get a sufficiently big hole, and it's done for.
And what confines its destruction to our example aircraft carrier?
I'd like to think it's easier to deal with the simple alloys involved in metals than, say, human tissues or concrete structures. And maybe it's not. You know, again, the trouble here, Art, in the gray goo scenario is that getting that chain reaction going, and boy, I sure hate to foster any research in that direction, but if you could do that, then you've got the gray goo. But that, you know, will run up against getting something for nothing principle.
Would you be in favor of laws, Professor, that would prevent that line of research?
Well, that's a tough question.
Well, yes. Since you expressed that so strongly, I thought, well, let's go back for a second to,
you know
earlier statement.
Here's the trouble with that, is that the applications that will probably produce that will be so unforeseen, so incidental to what the researchers had in mind, to try to reasonably limit research early on that will have these unforeseen effects down the road after that pinball fashion of applications. I don't think, on the other hand, Art, if somebody specifically files for a patent on gray goo, and it makes sense, I think they should be forwarded to a special department. And if we should ever produce that, it may happen, well, we will have to treat it like a nuclear bomb. And I do think it makes sense, in this case, to use the force of government.
Well, let's ask you, as a scientist, if you were on the trail of even what you thought would be a restricted or controlled form of gray goo, what are the chances for, should humanity worry that in the process of that investigation, a terrible mistake could get made.
Sure, sure, worry. But right now, fortunately, we're not anywhere near that. But in other words, you can't say to someone, you've just proven a mathematical theorem, Mr. Einstein equals MC squared. We're going to have to put limits on that because 30 years down the road, it's going to be turned into a nuclear bomb. And that's really hard to foresee. But if somebody's close, Art, and we may be, or if somebody says, I now see that with a reasonable set of steps, I can achieve a basic Grey Goose scenario.
Yes.
I think they have a duty to turn that over to the government. And I'm not a big fan of government. I think at this point the hazards are so great. And if for no other reason, so that some responsible people can look at it and start thinking about it. I don't think they should put it in the open literature. And we do have, we really do have some exceptions in the First Amendment principle.
All right, let's be sure the audience understands. When we're talking about Grey Goo, we're talking about the ability to manipulate atoms, for example, and finally end up with something that would be instructed to virtually eat. Just eat any material, for example, in the case of pure Grey Goo, I guess, anything it comes in contact with, and to reproduce itself with those materials. In other words, an endless chain of little machines eating up everything.
Or in the same principle, to have like a fire, a chain reaction, so that the energy produced in the release is used in the next phase to break up more molecules. And all you're left with and done is a bunch of unstructured matter. Goo.
Grey goo. Turning the world into grey goo. It would spread, there's a really good question.
Exponentially fast, if you got it.
Exponentially fast. So, theoretically, if a scientist dropped a vial of this foul stuff on a lab floor in Cincinnati, how long would the people in Moscow have?
It depends on the rate of reaction, Art, but you know the principles of geometric compounding here. You put a dollar in the bank, and if it continues to compound in a few years, you'll break any bank.
Yes.
And since we have things happening at nano speeds, in principle, and I don't think is likely, fortunately, but in principle, it could be not just a matter of hours, but days or something within your lifetime. It would be a big problem. Now, maybe we can put some kind of nano fence around it. Who knows? But something that, if we ever get close to it, I do think that research will have to be prohibited. It's so big, and the downside's so large that it warrants even prior restraint in publishing.
Wow.